It has been a completely action-packed week, and if I may just take a moment and say what a huge pleasure and privilege it's been to experience it with you as stateside new host, it is time for our weekly news roundtable. So let's dive in on the week that was. Bill Nowling is a partner at Lambert and a former Republican Party operative. He's with us in studio today. Hey, Bill.
Hey, how you doing?
And Nancy Kaffer is an editorial page writer at the Detroit Free Press. Nancy, good to have you.
Thanks for having me.
Let's get right out of the gate with a huge Detroit story that just broke as we were getting ready today. The Detroit News reports the city overcharged residents on their property taxes for many years. This was not a small bookkeeping error. The story says that the overcharges totaled $600 million and forced thousands of people into debt and in some cases out of their homes as the city foreclosed. Nancy, you've been following tax foreclosures and property tax debt for some time now. Is there any way for Detroit Mayor Mike Duggan to make this right?
Boy, that's a lead right with a big question here. I think it would be incredibly difficult to do that because, number one, like you said, some people have perhaps lost their homes. We know people have lost their homes to tax foreclosure based on inflated assessments. And if you have lost your home, it has been auctioned off. It's either now occupied or quite likely derelict because that happens to a lot of homes that are auctioned in the tax foreclosure auction.
You can't just walk this process back.
You can't simply take that back. You know, there needs to be, you could handle the tax debt that may have been accumulated because of this by adopting what it's called the retroactive poverty property tax exemption. Folks who live in poverty are not required in Detroit to pay any property tax, but this is an application-only exemption, and far fewer people are receiving this than we know are qualified for it. So they could do that. Duggan has been reluctant to adopt that solution because he says it's not fair to people who did pay their taxes. I disagree. Mm. There's a solution to that part. But for people who lost their homes, yeah, you can't take them back.
Yeah, you know, the interesting thing is, you know, during the Detroit bankruptcy, I mean, we saw that the assessments were at least double what the actual market value was. And there was some talk at that time about just zeroing them out down to a base level and making that the new normal.
But would that be just in the service of making sure that everybody knew what the properties were worth, what they were worth?
No, making sure that they were actually assessed at the true market value instead of being over-assessed. But the mayor rightly notes, there's no easy solution because to do that, you would have to take almost $500 million off the tax roll that the city needs to just to do its numbers in bankruptcy. But
that's a terrible justification.
But the issue is that, you know, this is what you're seeing here with the assessments, and it is a problem that needs to be dealt with. But it's one of the series of problems that government has been making for years about, well, we're running out of tax revenue, so we'll just change the decimal point where we value property at to generate more money to make up that difference instead of coming up with a more holistic approach to some tax equity in the process.
Not a practice that's limited to Detroit by any means.
No, absolutely not.
Well, there's been so much emphasis on making the city functional again. Bill, what does this situation say about the balance of restoring operations and a sense of normalcy versus the human toll that enforcement takes?
Well, I think, you know, I mean, I think it just reinforces that that's always the tension and the balance that you have to work at. I mean, I don't think anybody goes into a situation saying, you know, how can we take more money from people just to take more money from people? They're trying to solve a problem and come up with solutions to provide services. So, I do think that the intentions are in some respect are good, but the outcomes are bad. And the longer that we let them sit as bad, and I'm not trying to pass the buck because we didn't deal with it during the bankruptcy either. The longer we let it sit, the more people who are on the extreme of the margin suffer because of it.
I think there's a bigger issue here, which is the lack of people in power listening to residents of non-white, non-affluent communities. You had people in Flint saying, hey, our water looks terrible and you can't drink it. It smells bad. It makes us sick. And folks going, eh, no, we think it's all right. You have people in Detroit saying, hey, you know, I'm paying taxes on a house that you say is worth $60,000. There's my neighborhood has been hit. It's one of two houses on the block. There haven't been sales in my neighborhood for whatever long. And if I tried to sell it for $52,000, no one would buy it. My realtor would laugh if I proposed this. And so we have to start paying attention to things that people in communities of color that are not affluent tell us, because they're telling us the truth about their lives.
We got to move on. Governor Gretchen Whitmer's State of the State address is coming right up, scheduled for January 29th. We hear that she's getting ready to propose a bond to help fund road repairs, an issue that she campaigned on extensively. Bill, you've worked in the legislature. Do you feel like that possibility represents a step forward or a step back?
I think that it's tantalizing to say we can do this by going to Wall Street and say, fund this, we will do this. And that gets us around the politics of having to pass a bill to raise taxes to get more revenue funding. But, you know, I'm a little leery of governments bonding to do what they should do. Bonding their way through operations and investment that they should do with tax levies, because that's what the taxes are supposed to do. You know, Detroit got into a lot of problems by forestalling payments to pensions by going to the market to fund it so that they could put more money back into city services. And that eventually came back to bite them. And, you know, there's my sons and daughters are going to pay for my roads now if we bond for them now. And they're going to pay for it anyways. But who's going to pay for their roads when that – we got to come up with a different way to fund it. I mean – and
well, I mean, I 100% agree with you. You shouldn't bond out for regular operational expenses that should be financed via a tax levy. But our legislature is absolutely opposed to raising taxes to fix the roads. I mean – and I haven't heard anyone really arguing about the $2 billion a year that's needed to fix the roads figure. People seemed, this was a figure derived by former Republican Governor Rick Snyder, former governor, not former Republican, so far as we know. And, you know, so this is a number that's real. We all drive around on our roads. We see in bridges, we see the condition that they're in. And you still have the Senate Majority Leader saying stuff like, I don't know new revenue is necessary. Well, $2 billion is a lot of money, and you can't shake it out of the couch cushions. We should be raising taxes to pay for it. You know, if we're not going to do that, what are the other options aside from bonding?
Do we see the Republicans in control of the legislature going for something like this?
Oh, no.
No, I don't think so. I think they're skeptical of bonding and incurring that much debt for...
They're skeptical of bonding and they're skeptical of raising taxes. So, yeah.
Well, I should say they're skeptical. There's nothing skeptical about their disdain for raising taxes. I think that that's more.
So what's the other option to get money?
Well, I don't know. I mean, I think, you know, we could go to the ballot. You know, that's an option that we could do. It's not a perfect option, but, you know, other groups have done that when the political process is ground down. Mm-hmm. To do that. So I think that there's an opportunity to do that. But, you know, short of just saying we need more money for roads, and I think that that's an agreement, the problem is the formula and the way that we do it is so it's like 75 years old. And every year, more electric cars drive more miles that are not being taxed, and that's going to eventually catch up.
But that's still like electric cars are such a teeny tiny fraction of the vehicles on the road.
All right, well, let's just talk about the...
That's like 2050's problems.
Well,
it's
sure.
Not 2020's problem now, and let's work on...
They're not the same problem.
Well, it's the same problem, but even if you take electric cars off of this, look at how much more fuel efficient cars are. Cars are driving farther on same amount or less amount of energy and fuel to do that.
Well, don't make it a gas tax, but it has to be a tax.
Well, I don't think people disagree with that, but I think we've got to tackle that now. We're dealing with a funding situation that's 75 years old. We need to modernize
again,
it like we need to do with our transportation infrastructure.
Bill, you know I respect you, but I have no patience for the electric cars argument. Like, look at the numbers. I looked it up. It's not even like a percent Maybe. I don't know.
I gotta drag us back. If there's one local story that has captured the hearts and minds of everyone in the new year, I'm guessing it's that green ooze that leaked out onto I-696 in Madison Heights. The neon-colored ooze turned out to be hexavalent chromium, the stuff at the center of the now-famous Aaron Brockovich water contamination story. Now, the owner of the site at the source of contamination is in prison. Some lawmakers are saying that the State Department of Environment, Great Lakes, and Energy dropped the ball protecting the public. Nancy, who do you think is to blame here?
Wow. Well, I haven't run these numbers, but I'm pretty sure that if we looked at the Michigan Department of Environmental Quality and the EPA over decades, we would find that they're never staffed and funded enough. You know, we have one of the things about this site is this site, we know about it because green ooze got out onto 696, but there's sites all over our state. We think of big plants like the Marathon plant as being a big pollution plant, but there's all these small industrial areas that are filled with things that aren't good for us, and we really have to start taking stock of that.
Yeah, you know, and I think that, I mean, having, you know, done some work on the Flint issue, I know that if you look hard enough in the emails, you're going to find some people talking about the potential liability and threats for this particular site because it's not unknown to them. They've regulated it. It doesn't. But the bigger issue is that, you know, we've, for years, we let people bury stuff legally because there was either no law or the law was pretty loose about how to do that. And those places are all over the state, those supposedly capped landfills that were supposed to keep everything
under wraps.
Now, this stuff is leaking out of it and leaking into the groundwater. It's a huge issue. Michigan's doing better at trying to put its arms around that. But it's leap years ahead of other states, but it's a huge problem in terms of we just don't know what was buried in the ground 50, 60 years ago.
Well, like we had, you know, just before the ooze, we had that dock on the Detroit River that collapsed that had
contaminated with uranium.
Yes. I mean, we have, yeah. That's just another, just in a few short weeks, we had these things where stuff had been stacked away somewhere and not addressed.
So clearly, the number of sites with potential questions is more than we could count if we spent the rest of the hour on it. How do we balance protecting the public from these harmful chemicals while not overburdening companies that might have choices to take their business elsewhere?
Well, I think the first thing that we have to do is get past the idea that environmental regulations just kill jobs and burden employers. I mean, they're there to keep us safe, and we have to balance our safety. I frankly think the scale should tilt toward our safety. I mean, if we don't have clean air and clean water, the whole business piece is kind of moot, right?
Yeah, I don't think businesses want what everybody else wants. They want, you know, a good place. They want people happy, healthy, engaged in the economic enterprise and buying their products and helping them make money. So, I mean, it's in their interest to do that. I think what we need to do is come up with ways and make it a priority to fund those ways to help do that, whether that is through bonding or other types of financial things to do that, but to help companies that followed the law 50 years ago, you know, take out of the ground what's in there now.
Bill, I'm so happy to hear your pro-tech stance.
Guys, we got to go. Bill Nowling is a partner at Lambert. He has done work for the Michigan Republican Party. Nancy Kaffer is a columnist for the Detroit Free Press. Happy New Year, both of you. Thanks for being here.
It was a pleasure.
Thanks for having us.